Let's open our Bibles this morning, turning to the book of Habakkuk, chapter number 3. The third chapter of the book of Habakkuk, commencing to read at verse number 1. Let's follow the reading of God's precious and God's infallible truth. As we open this third chapter, it says, "A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet upon Sigonoth. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years make known. In wrath remember mercy. God came from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. And his brightness was as the light. He had horns coming out of his hand, and there was the hiding of his power. Before him went the pestilence, and burning coals went forth at his feet. He stood and measured the earth. He beheld and drove asunder the nations, and the everlasting mountains were scattered. The perpetual hills did bow. His ways are everlasting." We end our reading there, and we know that God himself will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word for Jesus' sake. Amen. In the chapter 1 of the book of Habakkuk that we studied together, we found the prophet of God as he considered what God was to do amongst the nation of Judah. He was concerned, and then he was confused. He walked in the valley of despair. He was walking in that valley and he debated with God. First he thought that God was not working. And then when God said, "I am already working and will work," then he could not comprehend what God was going to do and why God was going to do it in that way. And for a period of time we find that God's servant, he thought that God's way was wrong. You see, he only knew part of the story. And he had to listen whilst God revealed his plan and all of his purpose. In chapter 2, we find that Habakkuk silences himself before God, and he determines to go to the watchtower and to wait upon God for God to speak to him, and God to reveal himself unto him, and God to answer the questions that were in his heart. And there, as he waited upon God, God answered his prayer and God spoke. And what God did was, God revealed the fuller picture. And he realized that evil was certainly coming upon Babylon, the nation that God was going to use in the hand of God to be an instrument of God's correction against Judah. And in that second chapter, we find that there were five woes or judgments that were pronounced upon the sins of the nation of Babylon. And Habakkuk was left to contemplate upon that reality. When you come to chapter 3, the final chapter we're in it this morning, he moves from being concerned and confused and contemplating the reality of what God is going to do. And he comes to the place, to the stage of his conclusion, and also his confidence. You'll notice the book of Habakkuk commences with sighing. You will notice it finishes with singing. And I believe that the pathway that God took Habakkuk is a pathway that you and I need to be taken, and a lesson that you and I need to be taught. Because God taught Habakkuk this truth, that the just shall live by faith. And even when you cannot understand, and even when you cannot see the pathway ahead, you can trust that God knows what's best, and God will do what is right. And perhaps there are people in God's house this morning, and you're standing in the maze of life, and you cannot understand the leading and the directing of God. Maybe doors have been closed that you expected to be open. Maybe opportunities seem to be taken away that you thought would be naturally there. And friends, you cannot understand what is happening in your life personally. And you cannot fully understand what's happening perhaps even in your life spiritually. And you've got to come to the place where you will just realize this truth, the just shall live by faith. You've got to walk the path of faith. You've got to take it step by step in faith, trusting God, knowing that God knows best, and knowing that as for God, His way is perfect, and knowing the truth that God, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Now, whenever you come to chapter 3, you'll notice the opening words of the chapter is this, a prayer. A prayer of Habakkuk. And that is what I want us to see this morning. Notice, it's Habakkuk's supplication. And there we find indeed the supplication or the cry in the light of what God has revealed to him. In the light of what God has told him. His heart is poured out before God in prayer. And it says, a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet upon Sigonah. Before we come to that prayer this morning, let me say this to you as God's children. If I were to sum up the threefold commission of God to the church of Jesus Christ today, I could sum it up like this. God says, look onto the fields, for they are white, and they're ready to harvest. And the first commission of God is this. Child of God, would you look? Would you look? Lift up your eyes. God wants to give you a vision. For without a vision, the people perish. And the threefold commission of God is this to the church of Jesus Christ. It's look onto the fields. Lift up your eyes and look in the fields, for they are white and ready to harvest. I think the second part, having looked upon the fields, is the word of our Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 9, where he says, pray ye the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And friend, having looked at the fields and seeing how great the harvest fields are, we realize that man is not fit for the task. We realize that man of himself will never complete the work. But pray ye the Lord of the harvest. Get on your knees before God, because friend, God's the only one that's equal to the task. And having lifted up your eyes, then fall on your knees before God. Having caught a glimpse of a vision of a world that's perishing, having caught a glimpse of our nation that is perishing, having got a glimpse of our families that are perishing, having got a glimpse of our neighborhood that's perishing and going to hell, then fall upon your knees before the throne of God. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest, because humanly speaking, the task would be impossible. But there is a great harvest field, but praise God, pray ye the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Many today don't want to go into that harvest field. Many today just like to sit on the sidelines and don't want to be a part of the harvest field of God. You know, whenever we think of that, friend, listen, it's not just the missionary in the foreign field that's in the harvest field. Listen, God has commissioned you. Pray the Lord will send forth laborers. That includes you, friend. Because the harvest field is the world, and that includes Macrofelt. The neighbors around you, the family around you, the people around you. Listen, the neighborhood around you. Oh, that God would help you to see that that's a part of the field. It's a part of the harvest field that needs to be reached for Christ. And so the first thing is, look. Gets the vision. Secondly, pray. Fall on your knees before God and pray. And then listen, friend, the third part is this. Go. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. You see, having first of all looked out and you've seen the vision of the harvest fields that are white and they're ready to harvest, but the laborers are few. Nobody cares. Few understand or bother themselves about the souls of men and women that are going to hell. They're more concerned about where they'll get their next night out. They're more concerned about where their next holiday is. They're more concerned about their job. They're more concerned about their education. But few have a burden for the vision fields that are white, ready to harvest, the fields of God. And men and women are perishing and dying in their sin all around us. 100,000 souls a day are passing one by one away in Christless guilt and gloom, without one ray of hope or light, with future dark as endless night, they're passing to their gloom. Oh, Church of Christ, what will they say when in that awful judgment day they charge thee with their doom? The Word of God says, look, and having looked, friend, you fall on your face and on your knees before God, and you pray the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. But God says, go. He says, go ye. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. A young missionary was invalided home from the field. And that young missionary was asked why he was so eager to get back to the people that he once missioned among. And his answer was simply this: because I cannot sleep for thinking about them. Friend, can you sleep at night when people are lost with your family? People tell me how well they can sleep. Does it ever bother you, friend? Does it ever trouble you that there are members of your loved ones, there's members of your families, that if they die as they are, they'll be lost for all eternity? William Burns was used of God in the revival work in Murray McShane's day. And then William Burns went and left Murray McShane's parish and he went to China. And he commenced his ministry there to serve the Lord. As a young man, his mother met him weeping in Glasgow, sitting along the street. She had gone and done her shopping. And when she came back, she saw her son crying and weeping greatly. And she said, why those tears? And his answer, William Chalmer Burns, his answer was this: mother, I am weeping at the sight of the multitude in the streets, so many of whom are passing through life unseen. Did you go to the town yesterday? Did you see the people going in and out of the streets, friend? Or in and out of the shops? Did you see their feet were coming to Christmas time? And friend, listen, people will just be a buzz going here, there and yonder. Countless thousands of feet. Tell me. Does it ever bother you that those are Christless feet? Does it ever bother you that they're going to a lost eternity? Does it ever bother you that they'll lift their eyes in hell in the darkness of that pit and they'll cry, forsaken by God for all eternity? David Brainerd, who died when little more than 30 years of age, said, I wanted to wear myself out in His service for His glory. I cared not how or where I lived or what hardships I went through so that I could but gain souls for Christ. Then let's be honest, it's not far from you and me, isn't it? Could you write that as your testimony? Could I write it as mine? That we're so burdened for souls. Let me tell you this, whenever you listen to people's conversation, and when you hear them talking about petty things, and you see them bothered about things that don't really count, and the souls of men are perishing and dying and going to hell, and they'll never mention it once,
You know why? Because it's not the bother of their lives, friend. It's not the concern of their hearts. What an awful reality. Give us a watchword for the hour. A thrilling word, a word of power, a battle cry, a flaming breath. A call to conquest or to death. A word to rouse the church from rest, to heed the Master's high behest. The call is given, ye hosts, arise. The watchword is, evangelize. To fallen men, the dying race. Make known the gift of gospel grace. The word that now, the world that now in darkness lies. O Church of Christ, evangelize. I say that, friend, is the commission that God has given to you and me as the church. And yet when we come to the book of Habakkuk chapter 3, his prayer is not for evangelism. Now, I do not believe that Habakkuk has lost the vision. In actual fact, you'll see that Habakkuk has caught the vision. Because before the Church of Jesus Christ can fully evangelize and do the work that God has given to it, there is a necessity that the Church of Christ needs. And here we find that Habakkuk the prophet, he offers a prayer to God in earnestness before God, and his prayer is not for evangelism. His prayer is for revival. And I believe that before the Church of Jesus Christ in this day goes out to evangelize and win the lost for Christ, that there is one great lack in the church that only revival's the answer for. Because you see, the Church of Jesus Christ is dead, slumbering, sleeping. And there are many in God's house this morning, friend, and let me tell you, you're going through the motions, but you've lost the vision. And you've lost the spirit of revival in your heart. And you're sitting today, and let me tell you this, you come in and out. And you're standbyers in the field, but you're not participants in the work. You sit and view the others. You expect the work to be done. But you're not a participant. You've lost the fire. Don't we need today? Need revival. Look at the prayer. A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet upon Sycamore. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid, O Lord. Revive thy work in the midst of the years, in the midst of the years make known in wrath. Remember mercy. You see, revival is in reality God's people. It's amongst God's people. You can't revive the dead. You can't revive ungodly people, friend, because they're dead in trespasses and in sin. It's not revival they need, it's life they need. It's spiritual life. And that's why evangelism is essential, because we take the word of life. The Lord Jesus met the woman at the well, and her soul was dried, and he said, listen, whosoever shall drink of the water that I shall give them shall never thirst again. She needed the water of life. And the ungodly, the unsaved that's gathered in this house today, friend, it's life you need. You need new life in Christ. You need eternal life. And the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And it's found in Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ alone. For outside of Christ there is no life eternal. But we're speaking about revival. We're talking about the people of God here. It is the stirring of the hearts of God's people. It is the setting on fire again those embers that are dying.
Those that have lost the vision. In reality, what revival is, friend, listen, it's a new beginning of obedience to God. It's when God's child start again to get serious before God and start obeying God and start walking with God and start loving God as they ought to love Him and their hearts that were cold. Do you remember it said that the Lord had something against the church of Laodicea in the book of the Revelation? And what did He say this? He said, ye have left your first love. Now notice what He didn't say. He didn't say ye have lost your first love. He says ye have left your first love. And is it not true that there are people today in God's house listening to God's word, friend, and you have left your first love? You promised the Lord that you would love Him with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength, and you remember those days of the freshness of the of God in your soul, and remember nothing would have kept you from the place of prayer. You'd have been the first one through the door, and when you walked through the door, you weren't a dose of misery. My, you were filled with the joy of the Lord. And my, the joy of the Lord was your strength, and you were on fire! On fire for God! It wasn't only a dying ember. It wasn't a half-hearted believer. It was a soul that loved the Lord. Nothing could have stopped you. Now today, let's be honest, some believer looks at you crooked and you're away with a hump. You know why? Because you've left your first love. Don't you blame the other person, friend. Listen, you have left your first love. That's what's happened. And a lot of other loves have come into your life. And you've let those things take over, and that's why you're so touchy, and that's why, friend, you're so miserable in your soul, and you're missing the blessing of God. You've left your first love. You need to get back. You left them, you better get back. You'll never know God's blessing in your soul, friend. You'll never know God's joy in your soul until you get back to your first love. Why? Because you left Him. You left Him. And He calls you back, oh, Israel, return unto the Lord thy God. Hosea chapter 14, read it, friend. The cry, imagine God crying out for you and me. Oh, return. Return unto the Lord thy God. God wants you back. And God wants to kindle your fire again. And God wants you to fall in love afresh with Him again. And God wants you to start a path of fresh obedience with Him again. And let me tell you, friend, obey the Lord. Obey Him. Do what God says. Forget about the nonsense that you've got into your heart. Forget about the things that have got into your life. Forget about the statements of others that might have tried to be a block along your path. Get back to Him. You get back to the Lord. And I'll tell you this. You get back to the Lord and you not care about what others say. You will love the Lord. You'll so love Him and you'll love His work. And you love the witness of God upon this hill that nothing else will creep in or nothing else will matter. Why? Because you love Him. You love Jesus. And friend, there are those who profess the name of Jesus this morning and be honest before God. You don't love Jesus the way you did. You've let other things get in. Or let other people get in. And they've dampened your spirit. And they've put out your fire. Oh, maybe they pretended they were doing you good. Maybe they were clapping you in the back then. Let me tell you, just watch when people are always clapping you in the back. Because it may not be for your good. it may be for their good. To have their own word, to have their own plans. And so he cries out, Lord, revive thy work. Notice his brokenness, friend. Notice the brokenness. Listen. Go to verse 2. O Lord, I have heard thy speech. And I was afraid.
You know, this is a remarkable prayer. Let me say this. It's remarkable. But what he didn't ask. You see, God had told Habakkuk that the Babylonian army was going to come and was going to scatter the people of Judah and was going to come and take the people into bondage. But notice he didn't pray. He didn't say, God, Lord, give us military might that we might be able to stand against the power of Babylon that is going to be unleashed upon Jerusalem. Oh God, help us to defeat Babylon! He didn't say that. He didn't pray that. Because you see, God has taught Habakkuk the truth. It was a truth that David learned in his life. In Psalm 20 and verse 7, it says that some trust in horses and some in chariots. But we will remember, or we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. And you know what he realized, friendly? Listen, he realized that man wasn't going to get him out of this. If man's effort wasn't going to get Judah out of this. It was only the Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. It's a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet of Sigonoth. Let me just say in passing here. See the word Sigonoth there? Now, there have been suggestions that this refers to the fact that Habakkuk was one of the Levitical choir. He was one of the choir members of the temple. And it refers to him being a musician in the temple. If you go to the last verse of the book, look at the last line. To the chief singer on my stringed instruments. And so therefore we find that he was a musician. And some believe that this refers to him. You know, when you come to the word Selah, and you'll find Selah written in this chapter. What happened was this, that whenever they came to the word Selah, it was stop and think, ponder on what you've already sung. And the music in the temple went on. And as they played the music, and the music continued to play, you would consider that which you have been singing about, and you would get your eyes fixed upon the Lord, friend. And the music would continue in the background and the instruments would play. But your meditation would be upon the Lord. And perhaps as he gets before God in prayer, friend, it is believed that the words there, upon Sigonoth, can mean set to Sigonoth. In other words, set to music. Others believe it was a kind of statement or a song with deep feeling. In other words, he had a burden. He was broken before God, seeing that judgment was coming and realizing that only God could help and only God could meet the need. And so he cried out before God, Oh Lord! He said, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. And he cries to God. Let me tell you, this is not a half-hearted prayer. He means business with God. He's broken. He's broken. Why was he broken, friend? First of all, he was broken because he was confronted by God's word. This whole book starts with a man who's burdened. A man who demands God to do something. Demands God to move. Now let me tell you, if you don't want God to move, friend, then listen, don't you ask God to move. Because Habakkuk starts in prayer. In the book. And he asks God to move, and then God reveals his plan, and then he realizes how serious the situation is, and when he hears the seriousness of the situation, he's afraid. He said, I was afraid. Go on down to verse 16 of the book. Notice what it says. When I heard, my belly trembled. My lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh up upon the people, he will invade them with his troops. He shook from head to toe, friend. When he heard what lay before them, when he heard what God was going to do, when he considers the cost of Judah's folly and Judah's sin, when he thinks about the desolation that's coming upon his country, when he thinks about the decimation of the people that he loves, he shudders, he shakes from head to toe. For he realizes that the folly of Judah's sin is bringing chastisement and bringing the chastisement of God. Then when you read the Scriptures and when I read the Scriptures, we're living in the last days. And when you set your heart and mind to study and to think about the last days in which we live and think about what's before us and what's before our children, you know the Word of God says, in the last days perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And when you study the Scriptures and you see, friend, the great commotion of the last days, I ask you a question. Does it make you tremble? Does it make you shake from head to toe when you contemplate what God teaches you about the great events that are to break upon this old world before Jesus comes again? Or does it not bother you at all? Friend, if it doesn't bother you, let me tell you, then you've got heart trouble that the doctor and the surgery will not identify. You have spiritual heart trouble. Because when God's servant heard what God was going to move and how that God was going to work, he said, listen, he said, I heard thy speech, O God. And he said, I was afraid. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. In Romans chapter 3, it tells us, there is no fear of God before their eyes. Hebrews chapter 10:31 says, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. God's correcting Judah. God is going to chastise Judah. God is going to break Judah. Judah is living with a great past history, friend. But Judah is living in sin at this moment. Judah is living in rebellion against God. Judah is not broken before God. And God says, listen, I'm going to break you, Judah. I'm going to break your heart. And let me tell you, friend, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Aye, and he scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And if you and I are truly born of God, friend, and we're walking out of communion with God, and we're walking in disobedience with God, and we're rebelling against God, and we're an obstacle in the work of God, be sure if you're really saved, and if you're really born again of the Spirit of God, God will have to deal with you. And he'll deal with you as a child, and he'll deal with you as a son, and as whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and he scourgeth. And God says, listen, Judah, I'm going to deal with your heart problem. I'm going to deal with your rebellion. I'm going to deal with the folly of your sin. And God says, listen, it's a fearful thing. And whenever Habakkuk heard it, he said, listen, I tremble, I shook. He shook from head to toe. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. the living God and the loving God. Of course, friend, far better to fall into the hands of a God who loves us than to fall into the hands of man. I was just reading this week and studying for this message in 2 Samuel chapter 24. And God's dealing with David's heart. In 2 Samuel 24 verse 10, and David's heart smote him after that he had numbered the people. And David said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly in that I have done. Now I beseech thee, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. When David was up in the morning, the word of the Lord came unto the prophet Gad, David's seer, saying, go and say unto David, thus saith the Lord, I offer thee three things. Choose thee one of them, that I may do it unto thee. So Gad came to David and told him and said unto him, shall 7 years of famine come upon thee in thy land? Or wilt thou flee 3 months before thine enemies while they pursue thee? Or there be 3 days pestilence in the land? Now advise and see what answer I shall return to him that sent me. Mark verse 14. And David said unto God, I am in a great strait. Let us fall now into the hands of the Lord, for his mercies are great. And let not me not fall into the hands of man. Let me tell you, when God deals with you, and when God deals with you as a child, he deals with you in love. But whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. In other words, friend, God's child doesn't get away with their sinning. There's a price to be paid. God's child doesn't get away with his rebellion. There's a price to be paid. And whenever Habakkuk heard it, the word from God, he was afraid. Now before we go, friend, just let's look at the last thing. He was broken not only because he was confronted by God's word, he was afraid because he was concerned about God's work. He says, O Lord, I heard thy speech and was afraid, O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. Would Habakkuk realize? He realized that God is at work here. This is God's work. And that's all that matters. And what was going to happen to Judah, friend? Listen, it was God's work. God was going to use instruments, but it was God's work. And Habakkuk realized that this work that God was going to do, it was God's way that God was going to save Judah from itself. God was going to purify Judah in the crucible of affliction and in the fire of opposition. And this was God's way of saving Judah from herself. You know, God sometimes has got to save us from ourselves, don't we? How foolish we are. How foolish we are, friend. We think we have all the answers, and yet how foolish we are. And then God has to step in, and God has to stop us, and God has to correct us, friend. You know what God's doing? God in love is saving us from ourselves and the folly of our ways. And God's wanting to purify us. And God's wanting to sanctify us in our lives. And this was God's purifying work on Judah. And this is what he prays. He says, O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. You know what he's saying, friend? He says, God, keep the work going. That's what it really means. Oh God, keep the work going. Keep thy work going. And here he craves that Jehovah will continue. He doesn't want God to stop what he's doing because Judah needs to be purified. Judah needs to be corrected. And this was the path of correction, and God was fulfilling his purpose. And he says, God, keep your work going. God, finish the work. Revive thy work. Keep it going, God. See, Habakkuk's heart's tuned by the word of God. He realizes that all that counts, friend, is God's work. And his feelings, they don't really matter, do they? Or what he thinks is best, he bows in submission. And when God reveals that this was his path and his purpose of purifying the nation, Judah, and stopping her in her folly and saving her from herself and future judgment, he says, oh God, this thy work, even through the instrument of Babylon. God, keep your work going. God, keep it going. And notice what he says. In the midst of the years, make known. God, let it be known that this is thy work. Let it be known. What's happening to Judah in the midst of her suffering? Let Judah know that this is thy work. Let her know that this is thy way. And then he said this, in the midst of the years, make known. Let me tell you, friend. We'll come back to it. You know, that's the hardest time, isn't it? The midst of the years. I often think whenever we started in this hill, and when God's people came through a hole in the hedge, and they came through the muck, and a hole in the hedge there, and they went into an old tent that was just full of holes, and the straw was put on the floor to sap up the water. And they sat through hard times. There's no heating. Or little. But nothing. You know, God's people were in fire. They were in fire. Nothing would have stopped them. Nothing would have hindered them. It wouldn't matter what the world would have said. Because they did. They laughed at them. They mocked them. Scoffed them. Didn't stop them coming. But friends, you know what the danger is, Ty? See, when you get past all of that and you get into comfort, people go to sleep. Think of a ride. We can just go on our own. And God's got to remind us. We can't. Oh Lord, revive thy work. Oh Lord, thy mighty arm make bare. Speak with a voice that wakes the dead. Oh God, make your people hear. Friend, you know what God has got to do? God has got to shake his people. God's got to shake them. That's what he did with Habakkuk. He said, my belly trembled. And he was shaken from head to toe. And God says, I'll shake you because I love you. I'll correct you because I love you. Let you be not condemned with the world. May God help us to be willing to pay the price of revival. For God knows we need it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee this morning for thy precious word. We pray that by the power of Thy Holy Spirit that Thou will work in the hearts of those that are gathered here. We pray that in the midst of the years make known, oh, make known that this is Thy work. Make known that this is the way of Thy moving, that this is the way of Thy will. O God in wrath, remember mercy. I pray in Jesus' precious name.